This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we are shifting gears from VSiN's countdown to kickoff to Live Bet Sunday as we welcome you back to the program. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, we're holding it down with you for the next 3 hours live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. The book is popping with people trying to get in some final bets ahead of the Week 14 slate getting underway, and also potentially making some college football playoff national championship futures now that the playoff field is officially set. The big news of the day, Miami in, Notre Dame out, and we're starting to get some of the quotes coming from the CFP selection show from Commissioner Hunter Yurecek about the decision being made. And I just find it hysterical, JVT, that he tells Reese Davis and the crew, Miami and Notre Dame were almost equal in every metric, and it took them being side by side to flip the teams, which they have been that way the whole year. It changes nothing. Yet Notre Dame has been ahead of Miami in the rankings every single week since they started doing the CFP selection show, except for this week when there was no additional game played. It doesn't make sense. If this was what you were going to do, this should have been the path the entire time. You should have valued head-to-head the entire time. What am I missing here?
Nothing. I just think, I guess I would say the thing that you're missing is the previous polls or the rankings. They don't mean anything. They are there correct. For like you were getting after me because I was angry about the slow rollout. And you said, well, it's a TV show. No, those are TV shows. Those are there for ratings, for conversations, for stories, to drum up people caring about what this product is ultimately going to be. These are the only ones that matter. These are the only ones they take seriously. And he might as well have just told you that in that instance. I'm actually, if we're still a show next year, I would vote that we never talk about the college football playoff rankings the next day. Seriously, I mean, why does it matter? The final ones are the only ones that matter.
For our purposes, I think you have to because of the betting market that's associated with the news.
The betting market that thought Notre Dame was minus 3,000 to make the college football playoff
today? That's what I was going to say. This is one of those instances where the betting market was completely wrong in this. However, give them credit for the JMU number shortening as much as it did because of the Duke-Virginia of it all with the ACC. Duke upsets Virginia yesterday to win that title. They obviously, as a five-loss team, are not going to get into the CFP. But because they want an ACC team in there, and Miami's the best ACC team, who should have just been in the title game to begin with. The ACC should definitely, I think, coming out of this, reconsider their tiebreakers and how they grade things and how teams get into the ACC title game so that you're not put in this position again. Or maybe they don't even care because their team gets in regardless.
Yeah. I'm also seeing a lot of Notre Dame should have joined the ACC. No, they don't, because guess what? Next year, we're going to get 16 teams and it's not going to matter. They're going to be in every single time.
If you're Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman today, though, are you not livid because of what the, I don't want to say prerequisite, but because of how they have been ranked this entire time? Are you not extremely ticked off?
I mean, of course. I mean, all year long, it's like, you know,
was Miami to make the playoff last we checked? 5-1? 4-1?
I think it was somewhere in that range, because I was going to make the analogy of like, you know, like, I don't know, if you make plans with your significant other, like, we're going to go out, we're going to do this thing, it's going to be a lot of fun, and then the week comes up and it's like, nah, sorry, I got a headache, I can't make it, right? You're like, what are we doing? I thought we were going to do this thing. Same thing here with Miami and Notre Dame, where Notre Dame all year long has been told in these rankings that they were viewed as better than the Miami Hurricanes, and then the day comes and they're like, nah, sorry, actually, not going to make it, buddy. It is stupid. It goes back to, again, the rankings are meaningless. Up until this day, they're absolutely meaningless.
All right. You ready to go through these spreads once again?
Sure. Ready for you. You want them?
Let's go. Let's start with the 8-9, Oklahoma, Alabama.
Alabama, 1.5-point favorite, total of 40.5.
Any gut feeling there? My gut tells me Alabama.
I mean, if you go back to the previous result where these two teams played one another, you would definitely go to Alabama, right? Double them up in yards, down to the turnover column.
Although after what we saw from Ty Simpson going against that defense, I'm not so sure.
And so that's my thing is like, so what's this going to look like? Is Overton at left tackle going to be available here for Alabama going into this game? That's going to be a question. Will Simpson be better protected? Will their offense actually be able to have some sort of balance? Because if not, you can see a scenario in which Oklahoma's defense, again, comes out, which it's done in a lot of these games, bottles up Alabama's offense. Alabama looks kind of, you know, stuck in the mud, if you will, on offense, and they end up losing a low scoring game to Oklahoma.
I went there first because that is the game that will be played on Friday. The remaining three games will be played on Saturday, December 20th. Let's go JMU at Oregon, the 12-5, biggest spread of the day.
Yep. Let's see. James Madison catching 21.5 over at DraftKings. And, yep, 21.5 over at FanDuel as well. Total 50.5 over at FanDuel, 51.5 over at DraftKings.
Is that big enough of a number for the Ducks? My gut tells me no.
Well, big enough in the sense that they can cover 21.5,
yeah.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be the case. I mean, I think we've seen now the group of fives are a good story. It's great. There is a very big gap in talent, and I don't think that you're going to be able to spring an upset here on the road against an Oregon team that I think has a pretty big advantage along the line of scrimmage when you're talking about that offensive line versus this defensive line.
Ole Miss hosted Tulane back on September 20th. They won to the tune of 45-10. What is the market telling us about this game in the 6-11?
16.5 across the board, total 55.5 or 56.5, depending on where you look.
Tulane has improved down the stretch. Ole Miss is going to be without some of their coaches.
Yeah.
So how does that impact your view?
You get your offensive play caller back, so that matters. Your defensive play caller remains. So I guess in totality, it's pretty much the same team. I guess the question becomes, when you're talking about winning at the margins, right, decision-making, timeouts, things of that nature, do you trust that without Lane Kiffin, Golden there at the top is going to be able to... I'm sorry, what's his last name? Did I say that right? I say Golden.
Yeah.
That he's going to make the same decisions as a defensive-oriented and assumed to be more conservative head coach.
Okay. Miami and Texas A&M, your final game in the 10-7.
So this is where if you were quick on the trigger, if you were somewhere that had all of these different markets and these operators, you could have gotten something here. We talked about DraftKings opening up 5.5 and Texas A&M and FanDuel opening up 3.5. Looks like that 3.5 is going to be the predominant number. DraftKings all the way down to 4. So down from that 5.5 number, total 52.5 or 51.5.
I mean, it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, 5.5 seems strong. Considering,
I would agree. I think it's going to be a closer game. And Miami, to the credit, in one instance at least, to the committee, Miami has been an improving team. I know the losses weren't good, but they're a team that I think down the stretch, similar to Notre Dame, has showed that they're a very good, effective team. And so, at Kyle Field is going to be a tough environment for sure. But, I mean, it's going to be rocking. That's going to be a fun competitive game, I think.
I'm going to break in real quick and say that we already have a touchdown on the board. The New Orleans Saints punch it in. Devin Neal ruled into the end zone. We'll see if that stands. But a little bit of a sweat here so far as this was the top selected team, Tampa Bay and Survivor, already down 6-0 with an extra point coming.
Also, not great for one of my teasers as the Miami Dolphins go straight down the field and score on their opening drive as well, up 7-0 at MetLife, taking on the New York Jets. The top of the board for the national championship. So Ohio State, despite being the 2 seed, plus 240. Indiana right there at plus 250. The Georgia Bulldogs, your 3 seed, 6-1. Oregon plus 750, despite Texas Tech being the 4 seed with an opening round by Texas Tech, 8-1.
What's 10 minus 1?
9,
oh, baby. Let's go. Vikings into the end zone, up 6-0, 11:03 left to go in the first. He was shaking his shoulders and he's ready to go. 9 is back. Why that matters, though, we tried a little gamesmanship here. We'll see if it pulls off. But we took the bad number. We took the stale bad number. We laid the number with the Vikings in the contest for week. So let's go. Good start here, Minnesota. Extra point up. An extra point is good.
Yeah, trying to get creative for what is the final quarter of the Circa Million contest. You got to pick 5 games against the spread every single week. And we chose a bad number on this one to go against the grain. Nice start for them hosting the Washington Commanders as Jaden Daniels makes his return on the other side. We'll see him come out with the offense in a moment. First time since week 8 when he suffered the dislocated elbow. So as we were going through that national championship odds board, though, again, Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Oregon, Texas Tech. Then we get to double digits with Texas A&M at 18-1. Ole Miss, 25-1.
I'm sorry. There's so much stuff happening. Stormy's trying to be a professional. Danny Jones just turned into Daniel Dimes and threw one of the worst interceptions you ever
seen. Isn't it funny that Danny Dimes has become ironic?
Yeah, yes, it has. but you want to know what else is great?
Oh, it's Devin Lloyd, too.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
Touchdown, Tennessee. Titans are in.
Wow.
First drive of the game, and they are in. So we got a lot of action going on right now. And let's just say... Colts, come on now. 2014. Can we break this, please? Please. That was a bad interception, dude. Look at that.
For anybody who doesn't know what JVT is referencing, the Colts have not won in Jacksonville since 2014. It has been a hot minute.
One more year.
We're one drive in.
Stormy, okay? I've watched a lot of these games in Jacksonville. We're going to have to wait one more year. This is exactly how these go every single time.
I did want to say as well, because we kind of sprinted through our best bets of the day last segment in that Titans game. I do have a couple bets today on Quinshon Judkins, and so we're going to be keeping tabs on his rushing numbers as we go. Yeah. I feel like he should be handed the football a lot today. Run heavy, not only because of the elements and the cold, but his backup, Dylan Sampson, has been pretty banged up. He didn't practice most of the week. Titans have a terrible run defense, 27th in the NFL and all those DVOA and various metrics. Potential for a positive game script was part of my mindset, although now they're already down early, so we'll see if that plays out. But I did the over 21 and a half attempts, and even though he's not a touchdown machine, just 2 touchdowns his last 5 games, Tennessee gives up the second most rushing touchdowns of anybody in the National Football League. So I did a tiny bet on him -115 for an anytime score today as well.
Okay, I like it. I will be rooting for you as long as they don't win in cover.
Thanks, big dog. Appreciate it.
You got it.
I don't have a lot of faith in that offense being able to do much today. Although, I mean, it is worth noting, not only from the standpoint of you taking the points with the Titans today, but that total being as low as it is, that we have early scoring in that game is noteworthy.
I mean, yeah, I will say again, like, the conditions in some of these games, it's more precipitation than wind. So I think there's
wind in that game is only like 6 miles an hour or something.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up and I forgot, and I did not play this. So it's not like, but my actual thought was to play the Grand Salami for the day over, because even though there's weather, it was precipitation and not wind. And so maybe the market was overreacting to some of these totals.
So worth noting, with that Titans Browns game closing around 33, live total 42 and a half here already early. We got to step aside our first time out here, a live bet Sunday, but so much more to come as we roll along live from Circa Resort and Casino.
Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
All right, back here on Live Bet Sunday, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. The book is buzzing, and rightfully so, with all of the scoring we have early as we kick off the Week 14 early slate. While we were in the break, the Cincinnati Bengals getting on the board here early as well. We're seeing a few dogs barking with they and the Titans scoring early for Cincinnati. A 14-play, 69-yard, 8-minute opening drive. Oh. Longest gain was only 12 yards, but in sloppy conditions like that against a Bills defense, Bengals were virtually perfect on that opening drive sequence.
Yeah, and you know, so we'll have to look this up. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but I believe it was a playoff game about 3 years ago when Cincinnati went out to Buffalo in a snowstorm, ended up winning that game with relative ease. It is somewhat similar there. And again, you know, to the point of these quick starts for some of these games, it is pretty interesting to watch that these opening drives go immediately down for a touchdown. Now, we understand, we talk about it on the show all the time because we're a live betting show. Scripted opening drives have a higher probability of success.
Yeah.
But given the low totals, the impact of the weather on these totals, and the fact that, again, it's precipitation and not wind, I think you can make an argument that some of these totals are maybe a little too low, and we're starting to see maybe some ramifications of that. We'll see if that moves along. Should also note here, Titans on a third and 11, sack Shador Sanders. They're going to get favorable field position. Their second drive will start on the other side of the 50, so they're already going to be at the Cleveland 45-yard line or so to start their second drive of the day.
For Cincinnati, it was a Chase Brown rushing touchdown, so cash those anytime scores if you had him. And for Tennessee, it was Cam Ward to Elik Iomanner, former Stanford guy, for a 14-yard touchdown reception. Ooh. So that's how things got underway early. Still waiting for some scoring in the Seahawks Falcons game. Yeah. We do have a field goal on the board for the Baltimore Ravens, at least to get things going there. And we mentioned earlier, Minnesota with an early lead at home over the Commanders, because Nine did some really good work.
That's right. He was doing the weird face thing again. He was nodding. So maybe he's back today. Who knows?
And could we have a shootout in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, we could.
Bucks on the board now, 7-6 early.
That is going to be the one that's going to be pretty interesting, obviously from a survivor standpoint. But as we had talked about last week, maybe, just maybe, the Saints being a little too low, betting market didn't really like them last week. They were catching 6 against Miami, stayed inside of that number. And then here we are again with a somewhat big number. So we'll see. But right now,
and the extra point is good, by the way. So tied at 7, it was Baker to Bucky Irving for that opening score for them.
Colts with a little bit of a scare, but no real worry on the kickoff return. Fumble, but he was down. So the Colts are going to maintain possession here. So first play back for the offense after Daniel Jones went out there and threw it. One of the worst interceptions you're going to see. So, I mean, you watched it. I don't think I'm exaggerating.
No, it was bad.
It was very bad.
You said, like, he was Danny Dimes and not Indiana Jones, who you Correct. Need here.
I mean, yeah, he's never.
Although, nice little dump off there for a first down.
Keyword, what?
Dump off?
Yes, correct. Like,
didn't have to do much.
Let's be honest here. And again, I'm just going to put this out there because there's a lot of people who, and the Colts have said this themselves with the acquisition of Sauce Gardner. I don't think that you're in the clear here with Daniel Jones as your quarterback moving forward. But they're going to give him like a 2 or 3 year deal worth a lot of money. They have to now because they shipped off a first round pick to go and get Sauce Gardner. I think that if you've actually watched this team on offense, he has been asked to do nothing. And in these last few games, he has reverted. They just threw up the stat. Last few games, he's thrown 5 interceptions. When the first, like, I think 6, he threw 3.
Yeah.
It has been kind of a nightmare. And right there, Alec Pierce beats his guy in the comeback, and he just sails it over him on a 1st and 10. I just don't know if this is going to really look great for this team as you move forward.
Daniel Jones is going to be like the next Kirk Cousins in terms of bag getters, because I think about how he got his first big contract out there with the New York Giants. He was essentially given that big deal
sure.
for one good season, which wasn't even one to really write home about when mm-hmm. all was said and done. Like, the numbers weren't great for him that season, but they go to the playoffs. It's a winning year. Brian Daboll's coach of the year, all those things. So he ends up getting paid there for 1 year sample size of him being good and then falling apart.
Yep.
And now he's going to be putting himself in another situation to get a good contract.
I mean, it's the guy or the girl that goes out too much and parties and whatnot, but you think you can fix them, right? They have all these issues, mommy issues, daddy issues, but no, I can fix them. Look how attractive they are. If they come with me, then I can make them. No, like, that's probably not the case. You're going to have flashes. You're going to have some good weeks in that relationship like you did here. But I think I sent you guys the Colts, what it's been like to watch the Colts for the last few weeks thing. It's not been great. A lot of tears. It's been very sad.
you can
see it coming from a mile away.
Some updated numbers for you as we go. So I mentioned earlier with the quick score from the Tennessee Titans on their opening drive in Cleveland, that total went way up from 33 to 42 and a half. After the Browns got stuffed, that has come back down to 37 and a half. So seeing the underlove once again with that, I mean, a near 10-point swing, probably a bit much for one touchdown on the board early, no?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question would be, or excuse me, the impact would be, in such a low-scoring game, one early touchdown is probably going to swing the pendulum, but a little too far maybe to your point, given what our pregame expectations were. But, I mean, I don't know, man. I think you can make the argument this is going to be an over game again. Like, the offenses stink, but the weather is not that impactful. By the way, the Titans are going to convert on a 3rd and 2, so they're going to have a 1st and 10, and there's a flag, so we'll see what that is. What are we scoffing at here?
Miami just scored again.
Did they really? You have a teaser here?
Yep, I teased the Jets up to 8.5.
Yeah.
The buzzkill.
I mean, what's a buzzkill is they're going to win their 6th game today.
So, let me pull up. Miami's
By the way,
schedule real quick.
I mean, again, if you're going to bring it up, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks on Money Moves. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. It's not the craziest thing in the world to think that Miami's going to make a push for this playoff.
Sure, and it's ridiculous. Because even with the win streak that they've been on, they've won 3 straight games entering today and 4 of their last 5. It hasn't felt like they've won. It feels like a fake win streak, in my opinion, right? Aside from the win over Buffalo, where I was pretty stunned by just how that transpired to begin with. But then again, now we kind of see what Buffalo is and how good are they really? I don't know. But they have to win in overtime against Washington. They come out of a bye and give up a huge lead to the New Orleans Saints to lose that cover. They're not a team that I have a whole lot of faith or belief in. They're a 5-7 team that all of a sudden is going to start taking advantage potentially of some bad teams down the stretch to make their position in the playoff. Like, look at their remaining schedules. They're already up 14-0 in New York right now against the Jets. They're at Pittsburgh next week. They have the Cincinnati Bengals and the Bucks before they close out the season in a tough game at New England. But will New England even be playing their starters because they're the one seed right now?
Yep. I mean, I'm with you. Like, that is going to be, I'm willing to bet, because everything never works for me, that they're going to play the Patriots with absolutely nothing at stake. And then, of course, they're going to win that game.
Work their way in. And then what was your adjusted win total that you played on them?
6.5.
Oh, that's frustrating as hell.
They're going to suck. By the way, they just ran a design bootleg for Daniel Jones. It didn't look good.
I was going to say, look how uncomfortable he looked walking out of it, too.
He looks like he's got something in his shorts. So, yeah, this is not a very fluid run. I guess maybe you pull that off if you think you can get something there. I don't know why you wouldn't. I don't know. For 5 yards on a first down, 4 yards even, didn't really look great.
I didn't realize this. They just showed the next-gen stats from last week's game against Houston. That was the first game in his career. He didn't have a single scramble.
Yeah.
And his top speed was 10 miles an hour. He'd never had a single game where he ran that was below 14.
Yeah.
That's very, I mean, that's...
He's very clearly hurt.
Yes. Yeah. He's not himself, and that is going to impact the way you run the offense.
Do we do it now? That would lead me toward playing a Tyler Warren anytime touchdown.
If
they're going, and the logic here being that they actually have a short yardage situation coming up here, but the logic being that if they get one of those short yardage goal line situations, they're lining Tyler Warren up under center again, and they're going to do the tush push with him as opposed to Daniel Jones.
Plus 150.
It'll be interesting to see if that actually comes home, but I think that's something where, again, like, and this is the scenario, right? You have a 3rd-and-1. Here's Tyler. Look at Tyler Warren, handoff up the middle, and I think he just got a touchdown.
Shut up.
Let's see where they rule them, but that's exactly what you're talking about. In these short yardage situations, you're going to have to manufacture some of this. Jonathan Taylor's not exactly a power back, so how do you do it? You just give it to your tight end. And right now, I mean, he's on top of it. Now he's down. I think the knee was down. Yeah. But again, look, right here, why would you not just try to punch it in with Tyler Warren again?
You don't think you give it to Jonathan Taylor?
I mean, you can, but Warren is, you know, bigger, more solid. Yeah, I think you can... Either way, you're going to try.
From a barreling standpoint, yeah, he's probably the better option. But there you see Taylor in the backfield.
You're probably going to give it a shot, like the old college try with this. And then after that, if it fails, then you see if you can get Warren in. But I think that's going to be a touchdown.
Yeah, for Jonathan Taylor touchdown. Yeah. But he's like...
Look at that, though, huh? Almost called it. In the flow of the game.
That was right on cue. The updated price now, because Tyler Warren didn't end up scoring on that one. I mentioned it was around plus 150. It's plus 180 now for the rest of the game, though.
Say no.
They're going to put themselves in that position again.
Yeah. Wouldn't say no. Or is there a rushing prop on Tyler Warren? Can we get over a half yard? Well, actually, he's already over that number. Yeah.
Let me see. You know what I was wondering about for the Monday night game?
Yeah.
If we were going to get any Trey Lance props potentially.
Yeah, sure. Anytime touchdown.
Yeah, like something like that with the Justin Herbert injury. That was just a mere curiosity for me.
I didn't mean to respond with silence.
I don't see any...
Tyler Warren stuff.
Yeah, I don't see any Tyler Warren rushing. Sorry.
I apologize because I'm a little confused. I don't know what's happening here in this this Cleveland Tennessee game. It took like 20 minutes to get through a sequence as they were like, it was a 3rd-and-2 and they converted, but it was 3rd-and-12. And then now it's a 1st-down and then they had to review. But 2nd-and-2 coming up for the Titans inside the 30 of Cleveland.
Okay. On that note, we got to step aside here real quickly. Live Bet Sunday rolls along. We'll keep you updated on all of the scores as they happen, live betting opportunities, and continue to discuss the CFP rankings reveal. We'll be right back.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Anybody who hasn't joined VSEN Pro yet, you're missing out. And now is the best time to come join us because we've extended our Black Friday special. Today is the last day. So this is your last opportunity to join us on a full-time basis for just $60. That gives you full VSEN Pro access to everything we do, which includes our daily best bets from all of our show hosts, guests, and experts, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, AI prop tools that everybody's been talking about, 24/7 video access on the VSEN Watch app, plus you get full coverage of every major sport now through Marchant Madness. Think about the NFL draft that's coming up in the summer, the Masters, all of that. Plus, right now, with the CFP rankings reveal officially in the books, our college football playoff betting guide will be dropping this week. So timing couldn't be better. Today's the last day to get in on that Black Friday special. VSIN.com/subscribe is how you can come join us. Again, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. Ooh. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, the one you heard that ooh from. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. You know, you were mentioning how much we have to offer, and it made me think like, oh, that's right. We still have a big college basketball games today.
We do.
So Missouri and Kansas going at it. Missouri with an early 19-18 lead with 7:49 left to go in the first. It was a very interesting weekend of college basketball as well, including a conference that really nobody cares about except for you and I, as Boise State went out and got a big win over Butler. And how about Colorado State? In the year post Nico Medved era, they're 7-2 and they beat down Colorado over the weekend. 91-86 doesn't really put into justice how they controlled most of that game. Pretty interesting.
The some updating scoring for you. The Pittsburgh Steelers have now pulled ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, sorry, that is still going in action. But as exciting as college hoops is, and we've had a couple really interesting games, like what the hell's going on with Kentucky? You could do a whole show just on that. But something I didn't have on the bingo card today, and Aaron Rodgers, anytime touchdown gets in from a yard out, extra point is good. So Pittsburgh up 7-3 with about 5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Yeah. You know what? I was given access here to a data, like a statistical website in which I can get up-to-date statistics. It is quite ahead of where we're at on all of these screens. So I'll bet you. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll bet you the Seattle Seahawks make this field goal attempt.
I'll bet you that I'll bet you that they don't get
actually,
it.
Actually, am I right?
Let's see.
On our screen, Jason Myers is about to kick a field goal.
You're about to be happy. Yeah.
Bing bong. All right. We're tied at 3 in Atlanta. I laid 6.5 with Seattle today, so I need them to kick it in gear a little bit.
All right. A couple of updates here. Total net yards for both of those teams, pretty even here. The big thing for Seattle, 3.6 yards per play. You need that to be a little bit better here. Offense, you know, we'll say if this continues as the Colts give up a big play, I believe the Chavarius Ward in coverage. You know, last week the Seahawks won in spite of their offense. The Vikings didn't really have anything on offense. Their defense was absolutely dominant. The yards per play, all sorts of things weren't particularly great. Slow start again here against Atlanta. Darnold the week before that, throwing 4 interceptions and kind of putting the team behind the eight ball. Let's just say that this offense has looked really below average these last few weeks for Seattle. So at some point, you've kind of got to kick it into gear as you're heading into the postseason with an opportunity. After the Los Angeles Rams, of course, lost to your Carolina Panthers the other day, you have the ability, because you get them back at home, to get this division, but your offense has to be better than what it's shown here over the last 2 games or so.
Worth noting, even though the Rams aren't in action till a little bit later, taking on the Arizona Cardinals, we did the updated market power ratings on Friday, kind of going through where things sit, and despite the Rams having the loss the way they did against the Panthers last week, and Matthew Stafford thrown multiple interceptions, they are still very clearly the highest rated team in the NFL.
Yes. By the way, highest rated quarterback in the NFL might be Joe Burrow. Touchdown him to T. Higgins on a ridiculous catch and throw. 14-3 Cincinnati up on top of Buffalo. Closes about 6-point dogs. Market moved against them here today. Man, if they continue.
You're a big Bengals fan. That's in our contest. You played that side bet as well.
I mean, I just look, this team, by the way, wide open touchdown for Jacksonville. This is not looking good for Indy. But Cincinnati, I think the market's got to upgrade here. I know how bad the defense is, but folks, Joey B is a pretty good quarterback. And this offense, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Yeah, they might be 0-for and whatever or 1 and whatever in the last 2 years in games in which they've scored 30 points. Folks, they've scored over 30 points in those games.
And that goes back to a conversation that you and I had a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
When the Bengals were taking on the New England Patriots and all of the reports were that Joe Burrow was back and we were wondering, will he, won't he start? It would make the most sense for him to start because of what you need to accomplish the rest of the way this season. Yep. They don't. They end up losing that game by 6. And now they're put in a position where every game the rest of the way is a must win. And obviously they beat Baltimore last week. This is an important game for them today against Buffalo. But they've got another head to head with the Ravens coming up next week. At least they get that one at home. We talk about Miami and the heater they've been on. That's another opponent that's on their schedule. That's not going to be an easy out for them on the road either. So there's some interesting things that the Bengals have to accomplish. And you just wonder, you're going to go, are they going to be looking back to that game on November 23rd against New England and wishing they would have had Joe Burrow?
I think you might. By the way, avert your eyes, but Miami's about to go up 21-0.
Second goal already? They're going to go up 21-0 in the freaking first quarter of this game.
Hey, at least you can put out your misery early.
Unreal.
I mean,
that's basically what happened to me for conference championship weekend anyways.
Yeah.
Got put out of my misery a few times.
What'd you like? I thought we shared some. No, well, the BYU game.
I'm mad at myself. I didn't make Boise State an official play, even though I was...
Come on, we talked about it all
week. We talked about it all week, and I, like... I'm so mad at myself.
That's going to go down as one of the weirdest closing lines.
I won all my props. I won all my props, and we both had Georgia, and we got that one through. But I had JMU laying the big number, and they were terrible.
They were not good
all game
until the quarterback injury for Troy.
Which
is
yes, I was stunned, especially for JMU's defense that's ranked as highly as they are. So that was a real buzzkill for me. What was the other
BYU?
Yes, and then BYU in the Big 12. Because another injury, though, Bear Bachmeier gets hurt on the opening drive, and you just know from then on, you're toast.
Woo, let's go.
Wow, Tennessee.
Touchdown, buddy. Let's do this thing here. Wide open. I believe a kickoff return for a touchdown here.
Tony Pollard.
I'm a little behind. Let me double check. But either way, it is a touchdown for Tennessee, 13-3 now. Extra point coming, 129 left to go in the first.
Unreal.
Here we go, buddy. Love it. And that was, I'm sorry, I was a play behind on my feed. That was a run. So that was a first play from scrimmage after the kickoff.
So how long was that for Pollard?
Let's see. It was from the 35. Can you do the math? 15 plus, is that 65 yards? Am I good at that?
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
There we go. 65-yard run. And I'll just say this, because on the previous drive, they were running it as well. This is just a sneaky thing that is popping up in this game so far. They are running the ball really well, Tennessee. This is his 87 yards here. So 8 attempts, 87 yards, averaging 10.9 per carry. Obviously just ripped off for a 65-yarder, but Pollard had been running particularly well prior to that. So something to monitor, and something to monitor too for you, not to rub salt in the wound. Expectation was that Quinshon Judkins was going to have a pretty big day today. If you're going to fall behind and you're going to ask Shedeur Sanders to dig you out of a hole, That is not the way you want to play these games. And
we talked about it earlier. Part of my rationale in that bet was that you're in a leading advantageous game state. Yep. And so that's not the case.
It also negates one of your biggest weapons. Your biggest weapon, which is Myles Garrett.
Yep.
If you're not in some of these pass pro situations, Garrett doesn't really get to do what he is very good at doing. And it's just a very poor way, not even just the deficit, but the way this game would be played. This is going the extreme opposite way that Cleveland wanted it to go to start.
Also worth noting, the Dolphins did punch it in from second and goal. Jalen Wright right up the middle for 2 yards. They are up 21-0 right now at MetLife. Still 3 minutes and 39 seconds to go in the first quarter.
They're up
21-0.
They don't want to bring it
Disgusting.
Up. In game number two, we did mention that the Jags did score that touchdown. Updated number there. They are favored 2.5 with a total of 57.5. Indy back on the field for the first time. So we'll see how they can respond here. They responded pretty well after turning the ball over. Went right down and scored a touchdown.
Also, please, if you want to, and you're, trying to hang out with us and you have some opinions, some takes, some bets you're considering, you want to talk it through, tweet at us at Storm Bonantoni, at me, JBT, at VSIN Live. Parlay Pete chiming in said, divisional games colliding with the CFP bracket today, playoff positioning on both sides of the calendar. Lines haven't fully adjusted to the simultaneous chaos we have going on.
Quite sure that's a bot.
Is it a bot?
I'm fairly certain.
Why would that be a bot?
There's a lot of evidence. Let me point out, by the way, this is good, right? So when you die,
I hate robots.
When you die, how do you want to die?
I know how I don't want to die. I would like to die peacefully, I suppose.
Yeah, in your sleep, right? You just want to just go. You're going to do that here with Miami because Tyrod Taylor is injured. He is not playing. We have Brady Cook in. So it's just a peaceful, you just got snuffed out. You're good. We don't need to watch. It's all over. You've gone in your sleep.
No, I would argue I drown.
No, I don't think that's it.
And that's a way I don't want to go.
There he is right there in all of his glory. Brady Cook.
This is a stupid thing, but I'm curious if you
We're about to give another touchdown here. The Browns, Quinshon Judkins with a huge run. They're going to have a first and goal at the 1 yard line.
We're going to be over the total in the second quarter.
Man, I'm kicking myself. This is exactly what we were talking about. We say it every week.
Yeah.
Every week we're sitting here going, how does this game go over? And then sure enough, by the way, thank the Lord.
You didn't do the SGT.
I didn't do the SGT. The same game teaser. I'll bring up the text. What did I say? How does under 40
how
lose?
How does this lose? Yeah. How did the Titans plus 10.5? Okay, there we go.
Titans plus 10, we're feeling pretty good about that.
I wanted to ask you this, though, because you know how my mind works, and it's like, squirrel. When you watch movies and somebody's like has to go underwater, do you hold your breath to see if you can hold your breath as long as them?
I hate to admit, yes.
Yes, right? Unrealistic, and I'm sick of it. On that note, we got to take a quick time out here on Live Bet Sunday. Rolling along, you're giving you updated on all the action for
week
14.
Do it like every time.
Right?
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
some unfortunate quarterback injuries as we welcome you back here to Live Bet Sunday, breaking down all things week 14 in the NFL. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Not only do we now have Brady Cook time for the New York Jets, they're down 21-0 against the Dolphins with Tyrod Taylor leaving the game with a groin injury, but it is Riley Leonard time out there for the Indianapolis Colts in Jacksonville as your boy Danny Dimes goes down non-contact. Looks like it's got to be an Achilles.
Can the Catholics get one win today? Riley Leonard in. Has God forsaken his people to such an extent that he cannot come into Jacksonville in the mouth of Satan and get this
Can
done?
Can he get it done?
Come on now. Now, this is big because you don't, I guess, you don't want to speculate on things. Daniel Jones put pressure on his right foot when he went to drop back. He immediately pulled up on it. Looked like it actually came up. He looked like a traditional Achilles injury would seem. And he was not happy. So I'm going to assume that Riley Leonard is going to be in here for the foreseeable future. But why this matters, I mean, obviously for this game, Stormy, I would think that, by the way, Khalil Shakir, touchdown. Bengals and Cincinnati and, excuse me, Bengals and Bills in a shootout here out in the snow.
And I didn't see who did it, but Jets on the board now.
There you go. See, Cook, you're fine. You're right back in this thing. Worst thing
Isaiah Williams, 78-yard punt return. So Cook didn't do jack, but we will take it. 21-7 now. Miami still on top. Go ahead.
But big picture, let's zoom out really quickly. If you're Indianapolis, what do you do at quarterback? If you're talking about this being an injury that will keep him out into next year, what do you do? Do you pay Daniel Jones coming off of what could be a very serious lower body injury?
No.
Do you try to see if you've got something in Anthony Richardson? Which, again, I will argue we're right back to square one, which is what I said at the beginning of the season. You have to find out if you have something here. Mm-hmm. So if and maybe when he's ever healthy.
Maybe if he was starting, he wouldn't have had the backup quarterback warm-up routine that involved getting snapped in the eye with a band and fracturing his orbital bone.
So now, I mean, for sure, we're talking division, all these sort of things. So many different things are in play here if this is as serious as it looks for Daniel Jones. And by the way, as we discussed, guess what? You don't have your first-round pick next year because that is Sauce Gardner. So this
is also injured, by the way, now with a calf injury.
With a lower body. Yep, exactly. So this is right now like the worst possible scenario for Indianapolis. And by the way, that sound you hear too is the thumping heartbeat of the Houston Texans, who have now even more life in this division because the Colts could see a very big, and there's another injury there potentially for Indianapolis. So you could see another big situation developing here.
Who was that?
I think we had a special teams. I couldn't see who exactly it was, but Colts right now are getting beat to hell.
And to reflect on this being a team that it was only a few weeks ago, we've been having the conversation about what a great start they're off to. Could they be a number one seed in the AFC? Could they be a true contender for the conference and maybe for a Super Bowl if they keep this up? And instead, they are just getting banged up left and right. Starting quarterback was already struggling, now injured.
You want another angle on this?
Sure.
I mean, we're betting Jackson Smith-Njigba to win Offensive Player of the Year, right?
Yes.
Because if it is Riley Leonard or even, you know, as much as I think there's some hope there, but even though it's a very dying ember, Anthony Richardson, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's about to face like 9-man boxes and they're about to say, go ahead. And let's see if Riley can beat us.
And we've already been talking plenty about Njigba and how this felt like it was a 2-horse race between the two of them. Anyways, he set the franchise record for receiving yards prior to Thanksgiving. He's been unbelievable. So I mean, that feels like the bet, or maybe if you want to throw a CMC in there
or something, because as we just discussed too, Sam Darnold can't complete a pass.
Yeah.
This offense has been awful. So if we're really talking about the ripple effects of what a Daniel Jones injury could be, I mean, you start to get a little bit further down. You mentioned McCaffrey. Even though they lost the game, the 500-1 on the Dak Prescott Offensive Player of the Year does not look as crazy anymore if this thing's going to open up to that extent.
Does that not take a hit with his performance this past week? Because I know his MVP odds did.
I mean, it does. But at the same time, if the two guys at the top of the market start to slip off the way they have these last couple of weeks, all of a sudden, I mean, who knows where it's going to be? Or if it's nicely for the voters where they can give Dak comeback, they can give Christian McCaffrey Offensive Player of the Year, and then everything settles itself.
All right, we're going to continue to keep tabs on all of the action going on for week 14, but We also had this morning the rankings reveal from the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. You make the joke about Riley Leonard. Yeah. Can Notre Dame get a win? That was the biggest development of this set of rankings, that Notre Dame was left out of the field. And Miami, who the Irish had been ahead of the entire time, week after week that these rankings were coming out, is ultimately in. They will take on Texas A&M in the 7-10 matchup. Here is Reese Davis asking a question to Commissioner of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Hunter Yurecek, on how it all transpired.
Every single ranking up to this point, you had it the other way. Why, without benefit of another game being played, did this change?
Maurice, first and foremost, the debate I hear you guys having in my ear in the studio, I'm sure has been debated over the last 12 hours, and that was the debate we had in our committee room into the early morning hours, and then again as the sun was coming up. And the first move in that was we felt like the way BYU performed in their championship game, a second loss to Texas Tech in a similar fashion, was worthy of Miami moving ahead of them in the rankings. And once we moved Miami ahead of BYU, then we had that side-by-side comparison that everybody had been hungering for with Notre Dame and Miami. And you look at those two teams on paper, and they're almost equal in their schedule strength, their common opponents, the results against their common opponents. But the one metric we had to fall back on, again, was the head-to-head.
I'll let you handle that.
Okay, so
I'll let you handle that one.
A lot of elements of that to be frustrated with. I think most notably the fact that head-to-head never really came into account for their conversation until this week, which is ridiculous. But also,
well, what do you mean? They rewatched the game.
They rewatch a game from week one. So this is another thing that really ticks me off. They rewatch a game from week one for Notre Dame and Miami, in which Notre Dame is starting a freshman quarterback for the first time in his career. There's criticism about how Jeremiah Love wasn't effective in the game. Well, it's because they weren't giving him the ball. I don't know if anybody recalls that, but that was a big conversation on College Game Day yesterday. And I was like, did anyone actually remember watching that game? I don't know what we're talking about. But the thing that frustrated me the most about that answer, JVT, is that Yurecek dings BYU for the way they performed in their conference title game, which, by the way, two losses on the schedule for them to the number four ranked team in your metrics, right? With a quarterback that got injured on the opening drive of that game. Yet you are not dinging Alabama for their performance in the SEC title game and a healthy quarterback that just sucked and a run game that was -3 rushing yards for the game and couldn't get across midfield to save their life. So you ding BYU, but you don't ding Alabama. Makes no sense.
I think you said it well. I'm not going to add anything. By the way, the Colts have officially ruled out Daniel Jones with an Achilles injury.
Oh, they're calling it an Achilles officially. Yep. Dang, that so sucks.
That'll be that for the season for Daniel Jones. And now all of a sudden we're on Anthony Richardson watch. When is he going to be healthy? When is he going to be available? By the way, extra point is good. Cleveland ends up getting a touchdown. So they still trail 14-10, 14-24 left to go in the second. And
1 yard catch from David Njoku, from Shedeur Sanders, excuse me, to David Njoku.
JJ McCarthy, 9 of 10. For a couple of touchdowns. Well, one touchdown. But they're up 14-0 right now. Come on.
You love 9.
Today we do.
Again, for Inquiring Minds, though, we have talked a lot about the total in this Tennessee Titans-Browns game because it was the lowest one of the season. Mm-hmm. Closed 33 some spots. We already have 24 combined points in the second quarter just started.
I mean, again, we say it all the time, but it does matter. Precipitation does not really dictate scoring. It is wind. Mm-hmm. And this was a relatively calm day in terms of wind. There are some snow flurries, but nothing really. And I know maybe a good chunk of this total was also, hey, these offenses are stunk all year, so you're probably not going to get much. And by the way, we still could get under the total. We should also point that out. We're still at 14-10. But to your overall point here, the fact that this was thought of to be some awful game where we're down to, what, 32.5 mm-hmm. or whatever it was, 33. And here we are already with 24 points with still at the beginning of the second quarter. It just goes to show. I mean, we see these all the time. We don't really know what we're doing here for the most part.
No, and neither does the selection committee. They don't know what they're doing.
Oh, there you go. See, you don't want to let it go.
I just don't understand how the committee tells you every single week they view Notre Dame as better than Miami. And then in the one set of rankings that actually counts, they change their mind.
Can I fire you up even more?
Please.
Sam Darnold threw an interception.
No.
Yep. Did not go well for the Seahawks on that previous drive. So Seattle is going to get off the field here, but 4th and 12 coming up for Atlanta. I can't tell.
Atlanta got the ball back and they've sucked it up just as bad.
Yeah, they're in field goal territory. So they're going to try to get, trying to get up here 6-3 with, what are we calling that here? Pretty long field goal, looks like.
35 yarder, Zane Gonzalez.
50 yards.
50? Oh, his.
They're at the 30. They're about the 35, but yeah. And it's blocked. There we go.
Okay, that's what we need.
The Seahawks special teams are so good. It's one of the reasons why they're a good team overall. And again, you know, we never really talk about it, but dude, special teams makes the difference. Jonathan Taylor just fumbled the ball. That's great. But yeah, the Seahawks are a very special team, yeah. And special teams is part of it. Jonathan Taylor reached out for some extra yards. I think that was him. Ball got kicked out of his hands. Turnover, Jacksonville recovers.
Reminder, everybody, ProfitX is giving you an exclusive 20% purchase match up to $100. They're the number one sports prediction market available right now in 40-plus states, where you can trade your sports opinions just like stocks on main lines, player props, parlays, and more. Use the code VSIN. That'll claim your 20% match up to $100. Get in on the action now. Download the ProfitX app today and experience the future of sports betting.